It is a wonderful short chapter on Paul's reliance upon the Spirit of God in his preaching. And I applaud and really honor the teaching that Paul gives us today from this chapter. However, I will also say that there's a little bit of a warning in it, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's begin. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What a wonderful verse that is. The simplicity of the gospel message, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sin, and that all need to trust in Him as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that is of utmost importance, that we trust in Him and that He died for us. But let me carry on. "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." What I love about what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying that his speaking was not eloquent, was not theatrical, was not built on all kinds of man's wisdom or magnificent illustrations, but what he did come and do is proclaim to them Jesus Christ and Him crucified in the Spirit and with God's power, but not on man's extras, if we could call it that. And I think there's something to be said from that. You know, one of the things that I hope you remember in the teaching that I give you is the actual words of God, that you would remember that we believe in the Word of God, that we revere the Word of God. And ultimately, what I want you to do is remember Jesus and remember His words and His spiritual words, but not necessarily my presentation of it. If there's something maybe from me that I would like you to remember, is my faith in the Word, and that would then be deposited in you, that you would have faith in God and faith in what He taught, and that you'd have reverence for what He taught, because ultimately that Word can be with you forever. You can turn to this Word at any time. It's available to you all the time to give you the nourishment that you need. And I want you to see Jesus and His Word high and lifted up, and that you would remember that. And I think sometimes preaching can become such a demonstration of man's power and man's theatrics and man's illustrations, as so much so that almost like the idea is that you would remember what man says versus where he got it from, or that you would remember God and His Word. And I love what Paul's saying is that he didn't come with some kind of persuasive words of wisdom, but he came preaching Christ crucified, and he did it in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I applaud the Apostle Paul and what he's saying here. Verse 6, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And wow, he's saying, you know what? If people would have been looking for the gospel and actually had God's wisdom, they would have seen that, you know, Jesus Christ is the one that they put up on that cross and crucified. Now, Jesus came to die, and that was His intention, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But he's saying, you know what? People sometimes can be too wise. They can be too wise in their own thinking, too wise in the ways of this world, too wise and think they know too much. And instead, they miss the simplicity of the gospel message. And Paul's saying, I'm trying to give you the wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom from the Word of God, and not some kind of human wisdom. Verse 9, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, and that all that God has prepared for those who love him. What a great verse that is, by the way. All that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, that really makes me think of, you know, what God wants to bestow on us now for all those that God loves, but also the heavenly places and ages to come that God has prepared for those who love him. There are future dispensations, future things that we are going to inherit, the kingdom of God that's coming, that we will one day be in, hallelujah, that he's prepared for those who love him. What divine favor and blessing that is. Excuse me. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And having the Holy Spirit, because you genuinely believe in him, is what equips you and allows you to understand the things that God is teaching. And that's why a man in the world misses the gospel message sometimes, because they have not yet received the Spirit and then miss out on that spiritual understanding. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which a small s, by the way, but the capital S Spirit, who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And when you genuinely believe in Jesus Christ and he knows it, and you trust in him as Lord and Savior, you get what's called becoming born again, and the Holy Spirit resides in you. The tabernacle of God, the place that God resides, comes inside of you. God comes to take part and live inside of you. And that definitely gives you a grace and a power and a strength and a wisdom that's from on high. And it allows you to better understand things of God, because God has helped to understand. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Hallelujah. I just can't stress enough how beautiful I think it is that our understanding of God comes from the Word of God and comes from the Spirit of God, and not by the craftiness and theatrics of man or in church today, not through grand illustrations and strobe lights and fog, but that we would see the gospel of Jesus Christ in his word, and that we would see that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You know what? When you open up this word and you're taking this in right now, it is impregnated with the Holy Spirit. God is speaking through his word. It is flowing forth into you. And when we see the word in that way, it is already a grand illustration. It is already enough. Hallelujah. Because it's bathed in the Spirit of God. And that's how we should see it. We don't want to read this book as a textbook. We don't want to read this book as just words on a page. But seeing that it is real and living, and that it has the ability to penetrate the joint and marrow of our bones, that God can speak to us truths that we need through his word. When you see it that way, when you revere the word of God that way, the power that's already in it becomes manifest in you. You receive it in a different way because of what you believe about it. And I pray that you would learn to see the Word of God as Spirit impregnated and high and lifted up, so that it could have the kind of effect on you and me that it is able to have when we receive it in power and in faith in such a way as that. But listen to what it says. Most people don't do it that way. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. And he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? And that's a Old Testament verse from Isaiah chapter 40. But we have the mind of Christ. That is quite a magnificent word right there. When we, from the Word of God, and also in reliance and connection to the Holy Spirit, are seeking the Lord, he can share with us the mind of Christ. He can help us to further bear the image and likeness of God in our thinking, because we are now seeking to think in alignment with the Lord, and his Spirit is helping us, and his Word is guiding us. What a magnificent short chapter that is, and it really just reminds us to not just rely on our humanness, and to not look at this book with a human lens, but to realize that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, and that he is speaking to us through his Word, and that we really can be the people of God and have the mind of God as we correctly reflect spiritually upon him and his Word. The warning that I mentioned earlier today that I wanted to share is that these Corinthians, you might recall, were, you know, a pretty pagan city. And to say that someone was Corinthian-sized was to basically say they were living in worldliness, because that was very evident in this city. So for the church to exist and to flourish, it had to do it in a really complacent, sinful world around them. And indeed, this church struggled with that. They struggled with worldliness. And they were trying to advance in the Spirit, which you'd have to say, well, praise God for that. They want to advance in the Spirit. But they were doing it sometimes without knowledge. And actually, this book focuses on Holy Spirit gifts as much as any book of the Bible. And we'll see that when we get to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. But much of what Paul had to say was really warning and correction. So sometimes what I want to say is, as beautiful as these spiritual words are and having the mind of Christ, I think we have to make sure that we're doing it maturely and that we're doing it in tune with the Word of God. Because sometimes some people try to get ahead of themselves in the Spirit without it actually being grounded in the Word of God from a mature perspective. And they can get off base focusing too much on Spirit and not enough on Word. Now, in the other way around, you could do the other way too, is you could ignore the Spirit of God and not realize that he wants to live and move in your inner being, and you could focus on Word without Spirit. One of the things I teach, because I hear arguments like this sometimes, where people will focus more on the Spirit and less on the Word, and they look at the Word and the Spirit as being diametrically on other sides of a ruler, or, you know, on other sides of the spectrum. And I think that's really a wrong way to look at it. The Word is the Spirit. The Word, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. The Word of God is filled with the Spirit. In fact, it's God-breathed. The Word of God is God-breathed from the Spirit of God. And what people need to understand is they don't need to separate the two. And when you open this book and when you spend time with God, and even now when you're listening to this podcast, don't look at it as just the Word, but rather it's all spiritually derived, and it's flowing forth from the Spirit. And when your quiet time in the Word of God becomes a spiritual time, and you see it as God's Spirit being communicated through his Word, now you don't separate the two. They come in power together. And that's the right way to spend time with God, is seeing the Word of God as Spirit impregnated all the time. And hallelujah, I pray that more people who are listening, they'll benefit from that teaching right there. Hallelujah. The Word of God and the Spirit of God working together, intertwined. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for both your Word and your Spirit. God bless you all.